10 years ago, rock music was pulling itself out of the doldrums of the 70s. Here's rock historian Ed Ward to remind us of what we were hearing and seeing on the rock scene.
In 1983, there was the word, and the word was video. You either had one or you were nothing. And with videos being so much a part of the music scene today, it's odd to consider that only 10 years ago, they were still novelties with the power to make or break a career. And when I say make a career, I mean make a career.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who could dance on the floor and around. She said, I am the one who could dance on the floor and around.
Although Michael Jackson's album Thriller had been released in 1982, it wasn't until 1983 that the record company began to promote it heavily. This promotion included the famous alleged battle between CBS Records' Walter Yetnikoff and MTV, which supposedly refused to air the Billie Jean video because it wasn't rock and roll. MTV was being cocky. They knew the power they had, and they weren't above throwing it around. Fortunately, they lost the struggle, which is why the station is so well integrated today, under a completely different management. But video was just one more way of fragmenting an already fragmented music listenership. Ever since the programming patterns of AM and FM started diverging in the early 70s, American pop fans had also been grouping in smaller and smaller camps. So, while 1983 saw the video performers reaching ascendancy, it was also the heyday of a renaissance of American rock and roll. This early version of R.E.M.'s Radio Free Europe attracted the ear of IRS Records, the label Miles Copeland, brother of Stuart Copeland of the Police, owned. Soon, the Athens, Georgia Quartet had their recording budget raised so that they could make Murmur, their first album. In Minneapolis, another great American band had roared its way onto vinyl. Husker Du took their name from a Swedish board game, their sound from punk, and their pop sensibility from the Masters, and they'd go a long way artistically, if not commercially, by the time they broke up a few years later. Nor were they all that was happening in the Twin Cities.
I guess I should know, by the way you popped your car sideways, I don't wouldn't last. It's the other kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. Guess I must be dumb, cause you had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of abuse. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You say, what have I got to lose? And honey, I say, be a red comet. BB, you're much too fast. Be a red comet. You need a love.
With his 1999 album, Prince fulfilled the promise he'd been hinting at all along, and rumor had it he was working on an autobiographical movie that would finally shed some light on his background. Prince and Michael Jackson so dominated black music in 1983 that discos were a hotbed of experimentation. New Order, the British band that had risen from the ashes of Joy Division, was working with Arthur Baker, the hip-hop wizard of New York, and everybody from David Bowie to Bruce Springsteen was having their stuff remixed by electro wizards like Baker. But some traditionalism remained in black music. It just didn't sell, that's all.
But it's taking me under. Since you're not here, oh, I feel so all alone. It's bitter when it's hard to get, but this hide and go seek, it's making me weak.
Womack and Womack released their classic Love Wars in 1983 and were ignored by all but the critics and the British, who've always had an ear for soul. The British, in fact, were leading us in fragmenting on the music scene as the post-punk era dissolved into endless cults of new romantics, neo-Celtic groups like Dexy's Midnight Runners, Soul Boys, and lots of folks with synthesizers. All of which meant that, like I said, if you had a video, you had a shot, and the Eurythmics were one of the groups that took it. But videos would soon fall into the hands of the dreadfully ordinary, and the blip of innovation that appeared on the screen in 1983 would soon recede, providing interesting music for the folks who wanted it, and entertainment for mass consumption to a generation that couldn't believe this stuff had ever been a statement.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.